Now, if you've been with us for a while, on Sunday nights, we're doing a study through the healing choices. Things that you can do in your life that will implement healing through God's Word, okay? Now, for those of you that haven't been with us, everything we do is on podcast, online. You can go to our website and you can find that. I challenge you. We're in three very important series right now at our church. On Sunday mornings, we're doing why we need each other. On Sunday nights, we're doing the healing choices. On Wednesday nights, we're doing the discovering the six phases of finding God's will, and we're just finding and learning so much. And I don't know about you, but how many of you have seen in the past three Sunday mornings God do some amazing things in here? And you know, we're just praying, and I want you to be praying for me. We've never realized just how much our families are under attack. You know, a couple Sundays ago we had 20 couples come stand in front of us, and all of them saying that their marriages are at the edge, they're close to divorce and different things. And so I want you to be praying for families and different things as we move forward, you know, that God continues to strengthen. Okay, in Matthew 5, verse 5, and I'm not going to put that on the screen, but that's where we're taking our text. It's hard for me to hold my Bible and the microphone, so we'll try to work it out. I'll be good. I'll try my best. I feel like I'm on a leash, but we'll work it out, all right? But Matthew 5, 5 says this, God blesses those who are humble. In other words, God blesses the meek. And it says that they will inherit the whole earth. You know, we talked last week, we started on life's healing choice. Remember the first one, blessed are those, you know, who are poor in spirit. In other words, when you admit that you're spiritually bankrupt, that you need God, you're on the verge of seeing God do great things. You cannot experience the greatness of God when you feel like you can do it better than God can. And the Bible says that when you realize that, hey, I am poor in spirit, without you, God, I can do nothing, but with you, I can do everything. And that what the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then we talked a couple weeks ago about blessed are those who mourn, who grieve. And tonight we're going on with blessed are those who are meek. And we talked about being meek does not mean that you are weak. It's a misinterpretation. Being humble is not a sign of weakness. As a matter of fact, it's a sign of a ginormous strength. It's a sign of a strong person, somebody who can take the back seat and who can do for others, somebody who can say, God, I'm going to let you be in control. That's a sign of power. That's a sign of strength. When somebody thinks they can do it all, that's a sign of weakness. You know why you burn out? You know why you get so tired? It's because you're trying to do things that God never intended for you to do. You're trying to control situations that God never intended for you to control. So tonight we're going to continue. And you remember we said, let's adopt a phrase called let go and let God. How many of you have heard that phrase before? You know, but we're finding the four ways that you do that. And last week we talked about you need to make Jesus the manager of your life. In other words, you surrender complete control to Him. Tonight we're going to step two of how you let go and let God. In other words, you do this. You establish God's Word as supreme authority of your life. Now you give Jesus the management position, but yet God's Word is the supreme authority. Now I want you to go to Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 8. I love this verse and I like it. Study this book of instruction continually. And the Bible says, you know, in King James and others, it says, hey, this book of the law, you know, you need, don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate in it. But this version, it says, meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. Judging by that verse, can we not establish this thought? The Bible's important. It's very important to everything that you do. And I know that you go to church and you hear all the time, read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. But you know what? I say it all the time. Let's get a little bit deeper than that. It's not about getting you into the Scriptures. It's about getting the Scriptures into you. That's what matters. It's getting those verses established in your heart throughout the day. I don't know, many of you may work jobs. You know, I don't always have my Bible handy. I have it on an app, but it's not always easy to pull that app up and read it driving down the road or in the middle of a counseling. It's not easy to do that when you're closing a loan or when you're out there teaching a class. But when you're in the Word, you'll find that the more you fall in love with God's Word, the more it integrates into who you are. And out of nowhere, a verse that you read months ago, years ago, comes into a moment and changes your attitude in that situation. It changes your outlook on the situation. The Word of God is important. You might be asking yourself this question, why is it important to establish an authority in my life? Because it's simple. If you do not have one established authority in your life, you will allow multiple sources to influence your decisions. to influence the way you think and to influence the way you operate. And when you do that, when you allow multiple sources to influence who you are, it becomes conflicting. Because I don't know about you, but if you watch Fox News and CNN News, you're going to get conflicting reports on the same story. How many of you figure that out? You know, the same situation, you'll get two different accounts. It's almost like when you ask your 5-year-old and your 10-year-old what happened, all right? Why did the vase get broken? You're going to get two totally different ends of the spectrum. Well, he did it or she did it. You know, it's like Adam when God showed up and said, "Who told you you're naked?" Well, the woman you made me. All right, that you know, she made me eat the fruit. You made her, so it's her fault and your fault. You know, it's all different perspective. And you look at it and you realize, and you need to understand this, all right? When you have conflicting resources influencing your decisions, you get conflicting thoughts on what you're supposed to do. And indecision causes stress. Can we say that again? Indecision causes stress. You ever had those moments when you just don't know what to do? Ever had those moments when you just don't know what to say? You don't know how to fix the argument. You don't know how to end it, how to settle it, how to heal the wounds that you've created or that have been created by the circumstance. Or how to find the job or the spouse that you're supposed to have. Those are called indecision moments. And I don't know about you, but when I am indecisive on what I'm supposed to do, I start stressing and worrying. Any other worriers in the place tonight? And then all of a sudden a verse comes back to mind. Don't worry about anything. And it's like, okay, easier said than done, right? Don't worry about anything. Okay, well, my stomach hurts, you know? Okay, well, my finances, my bank account has nothing in it, and my bills are due tomorrow. It's easy to worry about those things, isn't it? And then it goes on and it says, the same God who feeds the sparrows and clothes the lilies is the same God that cares about you. You know, it's the same God that's watching out over you. You know, and you need to supply and understand that God's word has to be the authority in your life. You need one thing that dictates everything you do. One thing that influences everything you do. One of our members sent me an email this afternoon. And in that email, it was from their father. And I'm not going to go into detail or expose who it was. But the father was talking about how they do not need to base what they believe on faith alone. It needs to be based on what they can see and prove with fact. And it went on to say, many Muslims have lost their lives being surrendered to a cause. Don't be like them. And I said, first of all, being a Christian and a Muslim is two totally separate different things, okay? And second of all, it's amazing to me that somebody's saying, don't let somebody else, and he even put it in here, don't let someone else influence the way you believe by their opinions. And then at the very end of that email, they said, this is just my opinion. I was like, okay, now wait a minute. All right, you're telling them, don't believe somebody else's opinion, believe mine. All right? I tell people all the time, it might not be appropriate, but opinions are like armpits and booties, right? They stink. That's all they're good for, all right? And the reason you need to understand that is this. You do not need to let somebody else's opinion influence what you believe. That is true, because people's opinions change. You do not need to let what somebody else believes about God influence what you believe about God, because their beliefs can change. The only thing that should dictate to you what you believe about God in life is God's word. Take his word for it, not somebody else's. Take what God has to say, not what somebody else has to say. So let me give you a couple verses as we continue tonight, and let's look at a few things, okay? God's authority that he has posted in our life is not meant to keep us from good things. Can I tell you that? A lot of people say, well, God's laws make life boring. You know, have you read the Ten Commandments? You know, you kind of got this, and I'm just like, you know what? God's grace and God's mercy, God's instructions go well beyond the Ten Commandments, okay? And that's all you're basing your life on. But then I get to thinking, those Ten Commandments deal with kind of heavy issues, like don't commit adultery, you know, don't worship another god, don't kill. You got a problem with those rules? You scare me, all right? That's the thing, you know? It's just like, you want to go murder somebody? You scare me, all right? So if you got an issue with that, here's the thing. Here's the problem we have. People don't like somebody else being an authority. People don't like something else telling them how to live their life. And as a result, many Christians, many Christ followers do not like God's word being in their lives. Why? Because it changes them. It makes them exposed. It shows them things that they don't want to necessarily know. You know, ignorance cannot be held against you, many say. But the truth is when you have a source of knowledge that you're denying, you're ignorant by your own choice, not by design. And you need to have a hunger and a thirst for knowledge. You want to succeed in life? Get wisdom. Learn from other people. Learn from their mistakes. Guys, listen. Teenagers, listen. Learn from other people's breakups so that you don't have to hurt as bad in yours. Learn what they go through and watch what they... That's not a healthy relationship. Well, then don't have that kind of relationship. You know, I tell people all the time, there's a danger in trying not to be somebody else and that being your goal. When you spend your entire life trying not to be your dad, trying not to be your mom, trying not to be your grandma, then what you constantly do is think about them. And what you constantly think about, you gravitate towards. And while you're trying to stay away from them, you're drawn to that life. And that's why my life is not to be spent trying not to be what my neighbor does and trying not to be what somebody else does. My life is to be spent trying to be who I was created to be, trying to be like my creator. Because what I think about and dwell on the most, my life it goes towards, it gravitates towards. And that's why the Bible says, hey, get in this book. Meditate on it. Think about it all the time and see what it does. Now, I'll tell you the story briefly because many of you heard it, all right? But the thing is, you know, in life, you need to realize and understand one thing. There are warning signs all around you that God has placed in your life to keep you from danger. How many of you have found those at times? How many of you have ever had that feeling of get away from this person, get away from this circumstance? You know, God, He does it in His great design masterfully. He puts these things in our path. I always use this illustration when talking about this. The time we were at the beach and the red flags were on the sand and it was the last day and me and my brother were clueless to what they meant. And we went out at down there in Mobile and at Gulf Shores and we got in the water and it was awesome because all week we'd been shoulder to shoulder with people and this week we were all by ourselves. You know, this day there's nobody there, and we're like, "This is great. We're boogie boarding." Anybody know what boogie boarding is? All right, it's where you know you don't have a wave that you can surf, but you can lay down and get pushed in. If you're not good at it, you get drug under. You know, and that's the thing. So we're doing that, and all of a sudden this helicopter comes and starts hovering over us, and we're waving. We're like, "This is so cool." You know, and I told him, you know, we remember there was this big commotion. You know, on the beach shoreline, you can see as far as you want to see on each direction. Way out in the distance, you saw all these lights and all these people. And we didn't think anything of it until we walked back into the condo where our family was staying. And our parents were all glued to the TV and my eldest brother. And all of a sudden, they turn around and look at us and they start yelling at us like, "What did you do?" I was like, "We got in the ocean, you know, didn't know it was against the law." And then all of a sudden, they're talking about the shark bite that had a shark attack that had happened right down the beach from where we were staying. And all that commotion was about that. And then right to cue, they show these people swimming and waving at the helicopter. And there me and my brother are, and we're like, "Hey!" And on the other side of waves, just feet away, were bull sharks. Oh. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, now that I'm older, I look back at that and I realize the red flag means something. You know, the warning sign means something. And God has established those all throughout His Word. God has put things that say, hey, guys, in Proverbs, it says, stay away from a promiscuous woman. You know, you want to hear something that will really rattle you next time you're thinking about an affair? Think about this. The Bible says, don't give in to the promiscuous woman, because when you do, someone else is going to enjoy the life you have worked hard for. They're going to enjoy the spoils of everything you've poured into your life. You know what I think about when I hear that? I think about somebody else living with my wife and my son and it not being me. Somebody else and being dad. I don't want my son calling anybody else but God dad. You understand? I don't want anybody else hugging him and kissing him at night. I don't want anybody else taking him to a ball game. And I don't want anybody else there when I'm sitting there trying to cheer him on and coach a team. You know, you say, well, you're selfish. No, I am his father. I am his dad. And I don't want anybody else filling that role. So you know what? Warning sign. Stay away from the girls that flirt with you. You say, well, does that actually happen? Believe it or not, yes, it does. All right? Contrary, you know, I was talking to somebody today, and it was Steve and Danielle. We were having this, you know, the Katie bunch. We were all meeting together and getting ready for an upcoming wedding next May. And we were sitting there, and I was talking about, I was like, you know, Elijah was talking about how he eats hamburgers after football. And I was like, that's great when you're active. I said, but one day you're going to hang up the basketball, you're going to hang up the football, and you're going to keep eating the hamburgers. And you're going to look like this. And I said, I used to look like Steve. And Danielle was like, no way. And I was like, thanks. You know, that makes me feel good. But back then I ran and, you know, I ate ice cream for lunch. You know, and now I eat ice cream for lunch and I have to go buy new pants. All right. The thing is, it doesn't work out as well. You know, but the thing is you look in life and there's all these moments of life that people step in. You ever had that person step into your life and give you what you deem needless information? And where they say, hey, look, later on in life, you're going to want to consider this. So you need to be thinking about that now. And you're thinking, that's 10 years from now. That doesn't even matter. Pay attention to the warning signs, to the posted signs that God has said, do not do this. It's not meant to keep you from fun. It's meant to keep you from danger. It's meant to keep you out of harm's way. And many people are like, well, you know what? I know better than God. And there's three reactions we normally give to the things of God. The warning signs, if you would. The laws of God. Number one, we simply ignore it. Like, well, I know better. This ain't going to get me. You know, I have found this to be true. Everybody thinks that they are the only one. They're the one. They're the magical one that's immune to consequences. Have you noticed that? You ever told your teenager, if you do this, you're going to get grounded, and then they do it, and you're like, what were you thinking? I told you you were going to get grounded. You know what they were thinking? The same thing you think. When you're sitting there and God says, don't do this, and you do it anyway. And the same time that God says, you don't need to go here, and you go anyway. The same time that God says, hey, don't get yoked up with people that don't believe in God like you believe in God. You know why that's dangerous? They'll bring you down. I give an illustration all the time. Nobody in this church is above anybody in the world. Do you understand that? You say, well, I'm saved. They're not. We're still, the Bible says God plays no favorites, all right? I want you to understand that. But when I am living a moral and an ethical standard in my life, and you need to establish moral and ethical standards that you're going to live by, what does that mean? That simply means I have rules that I will not break because I think they take me beyond the bonds of what God has established for me, all right? And so when I have a moral and ethical standard that I'm trying to live to, not everybody else around me has those. And if I'm standing there and I'm trying to pull people to my moral standards and my ethical standards, I have found it is a lot easier to get pulled down than it is to pull someone up. And when you're surrounding yourself with people that don't believe in God, they don't believe in what you do. Now, you're not to be out of the world. The Bible says we're to go in the world like salt and light, and we're to shine, and we're to give some excitement and some flavor, and we're to let them see God. You don't ignore the world, but I'm telling you this, don't shack up with them either. And the Bible says, hey, if you do that, you're in danger. And you say, well, I don't like that, and I don't think that's going to happen to me. Well, give it a few weeks, you'll be in my office. You'll be in somebody's office, and you'll be saying, I don't know why this is happening to me. I'll give you three reasons why bad things happen. You want to hear them? You, other people, and bad decisions. Those are it. I bring a lot of bad things into my life. How about you? Other people bring bad things into my life sometimes. How many of you can say that's so true? All right? But how many of you have found that your choices, others' choices, things that are dictated to you sometimes can really harm you more than they help you? All right, now listen to me. That's why you and God should be in control of your life. How do you allow God to be in control? How do you let go and let God? How do you gain control of your responsible actions and your responsible thinking? How do you do that? You get in God's word and you make it the authority. You say, God's way or no way. You remember we say it all the time. I go with God or I don't go. All right, now look at some verses with me if you would. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 16 and 17, it says this. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. Now, when someone tries to tell you that men wrote the Bible, they are true to an extent. God used men to write what he was saying. Can I say that again? God used men, ordinary people, to write what he had to say. In other words, it is not their words. You want to be a part of a powerful church? Go to a church that preaches and don't use their words to do it. They use God's word to do it. I tell people all the time that ask me, how do I develop a message? You don't. You let God develop in you the words that he has to speak. Well, I've got this thought, but I don't have any scripture to back it up. Okay, that's an opinion. Get rid of it. You should have the scripture first, and then the thought comes later. All right, here it is. And I want you to understand something. In your life, something is in control. It's either your ego, your circumstances, it could be your finances, it could be your marriage, your relationship status, but something is at all times controlling you. Now, how many of you say, well, you know what, now that I think about it, I go to work because I have bills and mouths to feed. All right, am I right? So isn't it safe to say that some point of your life is controlled by a boss? How many of you have one of those? All right? Now, I didn't ask you if you like them, all right? But we have them. And the truth is that boss dictates how you act when you're at work. And if you don't act and you don't work as they have dictated for you to work, how many of you understand that you have put yourself in jeopardy of being fired or laid off? Now, not everybody that gets fired and laid off is fired and laid off because they didn't perform well. All right? You know, there's many people at Dollywood right now getting excellent reviews, but they're just cutting them off. Am I right, Brother Dick? You know, they say, hey, you're doing great, but we don't need you anymore. You know, the thing is unfortunately, we live in an economy that teeter-totters, so don't start judging people. But the truth is there are people that show up late every day for work, and then they complain when they get fired. And there are people that show up, and they don't do their job, and then they complain, and they're all the time tearing it down. You know, I'm going to tell you this right now. It is your responsibility when you sign up to do something, when you sign up for a job, for a work, you are committing, you're surrendering to the will and the desired plan that somebody else has laid out for you. How many of you can say, I understand what you're saying? When you became a Christian, you did the exact same thing. You said, okay, God, I accept your gift of salvation. I accept what you are giving me in eternity. I accept your peace. I accept all the benefits of grace and mercy. And as a result, I surrender. That's why the Bible says, if we confess with our mouth that he's Lord, that you are manager of my life, you are God, and we believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, then we're saved. Now, I want you to understand something. I want you to see something. Number one, when we don't like it, we just ignore it. Number two, if we don't like it, we just misinterpret it. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, well, you know, I know what it says, but this is what it actually means. And I tell people all the time, huh?
That sounds like a lawyer.
It sounds like a lawyer. All right. For all you lawyers in here, Lisa loves you. All right. But the thing is, you know, that's so funny. We'll pause. We'll pause for a moment. Let's go to station identification, whatever we need to do. All right. But you know, the truth is like they do that. They're like, okay, that's what you think it means, but let me tell you what I believe it means. It don't matter what you believe it means. It matters what it means. That's what I tell people all the time. Can I tell you this? Stop being handpickers of the verses you use and start reading them in context of what they were meant to say. Start reading them for why God wrote them. I mean, how many verses can you take and make it mean something totally polar opposite of what it actually means? And there are a lot of people that are following that belief, and they're saying, I'm going to flip-flop this. I'm going to change this. You know, I had somebody arguing me tooth and nail because, yes, I use, if you look at the screen, you can see over the reference is the letters NLT, New Living Translation. And I had somebody on the phone with me just the other day, and they were just like, I said, okay, this is what that verse means, and this is what it says. Now, if you look at the King James, it uses this word, and here they came. I heard their voice getting louder, meaning they were getting closer to the phone. And they came from across the room. I was on speakerphone. They say, whoa, wait a minute. They said, now, let me just tell you, and they're using cuss words while they're talking to me, and they're saying, I just don't understand why people believe they can change the word of God. I said, I didn't. I said, both of those verses mean the same exact thing. One uses thy, the other one uses you. It's not changing the meaning. All right? Now understand, I buy a lot of off-brand things at the grocery store. How many of you do the same? All right? You know why? They're cheaper, and sometimes they're better. All right? Let's just be honest. I did a little game with y'all when we were over at the school. I took Rice Krispies. I put a cup of Rice Krispies out, and I put a cup of Food City Rice Krispies. All right? All right? And so I put them up there, the value time, and I had somebody come up. I think it was Jordan Kate, and I said, taste them and tell me which one's the original. And they picked the one that was the off-brand as the original. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Josh? I'm saying this. I told her, I said, do you realize that the King James Version that you're trying to beat me up with has been translated four different times? That the 1611 original has four or five books that are not in any other Bible? And they're like, what? And then they finally, when they realized that I wasn't going to argue with it, they were like, well, you know, you're very well spoken. Click. I was like, you know, the thing is understand this. We have a lot of people that want to believe this, but they, nah, that doesn't apply. Well, this means this, but this doesn't mean this. I can cuss and talk like a sailor, but you better not read out of the NLT when you're talking to me. And I think to myself, hey, you know why the world doesn't believe in God? Because we don't act like we do. You know why the world won't take his word? Because we won't. You say you're under a banner of interpretation about, no, I'm not. What I am simply saying is this. The Bible is God's word. It is not for you and I to mess with. And the Bible says, hey, those that add to or take away, they're going to find themselves in a lake of fire. Now, I don't know about you, but I have no intentions of adding to or taking away based on that verse. How many of you say, you know what, that kind of keeps me away from that, you know? So that means when the Bible says, hey, listen, if you look at another woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You know, you look at another man's wife, and you start thinking lustful thoughts, you've already committed the act. If you hate someone, it's the same as committing murder. Now, you can't say, well, what that actually means is... No, what that means is, get control of your mind. I say it, my favorite verse in the Bible is in Romans where he's talking about, hey, listen, God wants to transform you into a new creation. He wants to make you new. And you know how he wants to make that happen? By changing the way you think. He does this by renewing your mind. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Your world will change when your thinking changes. When your attitude changes. You know, what is the will of God? And they ask him, what are the things that God, what does God want me to do? He wants you to love him. Number one, that's the greatest command with promise. Well, what's the next greatest? To love others. You say, oh man, neither one of those apply to me, right? But can I tell you this? Both of those will prove true to make successful people. If they will honor God with everything they do and they will honor others as well, guaranteed there's a successful person right there. I tell people all the time, you want to know how far you're going in life? Look around you. Who are you going with? If they're going in the same direction, you're going to go a long time. But if they're not going in the direction you're trying to go, you're not going to go very far. I want you to understand something tonight. Stop misinterpreting God's word. Stop ignoring God's word. And stop misrepresenting it. All right? Stop trying to live a life saying you are a Christ follower that does not line up with what Christ said you should be doing. Now, there are a lot of people that do that, are there not? We're all guilty at some point to where we say one thing and we do another. Am I right? How many of you ever had the mom or dad or the aunt or uncle promise you something and then not come through? You know, I'm going to take you for ice cream if you're good in Walmart. And so you were an angel in Walmart. You know what I mean? You sat on the bottom of the buggy. You remember when we could do that? How many of you remember that? You know, now you get sued if your fingers get caught in the wheels. But, I mean, I remember going to Bilo, if anybody remembers Bilo, all right? And I remember sitting underneath that thing. It was the worst ride. You got hit with everything. Your parents forget you're under there. They're running you into the chips. You know what I mean? You're sitting there. You're painful. You got your knees tucked in. And you're like, I'm being good because I want a McDonald's dipped cone. And then you leave and you don't say anything. You're being an angel in the back of the car. And all of a sudden, next thing you realize, you're in your driveway. You're like, but wait a minute. You said if I was good, you'd take me for ice cream. And now, that was my, you know, torturous experience that I'm still not over. Somebody owes me a dip cone. But the truth is how many of us have had those disappointments in life? Those moments where we're sitting there and we're like, but you said you would. And you're not. And that's not cool. Well, can I tell you this? How do you think the world feels when we as a church always say we will love you and then we don't? We'll accept you and then we reject. We won't judge you and then we condemn. I'm going to tell you now, church, we need a group of believers that stops misrepresenting who God is. You've heard it, I've heard it, it's not mine, it's not yours. But your life is the only Bible that some people will ever read. And I am so worried when I think of that thought of how we represent what God's Word actually says. Do we believe in the power that it represents? Now, there are four things that the Bible will do in your life. Let's read these verses, and then we'll read one other, and we'll be done, okay? So, five more minutes. Here we go. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us, right? There's number one, what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So, there's the four things. Number one, it teaches us what is true. You want to know the way you're supposed to go? Get in God's Word. It'll teach you how to do it. Number two, it shows you when you're wrong. It says, hey, this is not right in your life. You say, well, I want to know what's wrong with my marriage. Get in God's Word and it will reveal to you what's being done wrong. The bad thing is we don't really want to use God's Word because when we do, most of the time, it points at us and not the person we want it to point at. It says, you need to change this, and you need to be right. And we want it to say, he needs to change, or she needs to change. You see, the Bible says this is what's wrong, and then it gives you correction. This is how you make it right. All right? And that's what it says. It corrects us. And then last, it says, now here's how you do it. And it says, okay, this is what you need to do to make it right. Now here's how you get it done. All right? And then the next verse of this says in verse 17, it goes on and it says, God uses it. God uses it. Go back and back up and to verse 17 of 2 Timothy. It says, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, I don't know about you, but my Bible says time and time again that when I do things God's way, it prospers. And when I do His will, I find success. And then what he said in Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you, not plans to harm you, but plans to make you prosperous, to make you successful. And then and Joshua 1:8 says, if you meditate in this word, you'll find that everything you do will prosper. Then he goes on and he says, hey, if you'll let the word of God teach you, if you'll let it instruct you, correct you, and help you make it right, then God will use this to equip you to do every good work. Now, I don't know about you, but I really want to be in the middle of what God is doing instead of on the outsides watching him do something. I want to experience it, don't you? You know, I want to be a part of it. I have every intentions of stepping in on the 21 students and just paying attention, just watching one night as God uses our church to teach school in their life. I have every intention of being a part of the rehab programs that we're starting. Every intention of being a part of all the ministries that God, you saying you're going to run them? No. No, I'm going to be a volunteer to witness and experience the greatness of God. And I don't know why people think that they can do anything they want to do and expect the blessings that God's going to give them. We say it 1,000 times to you. There are 7,000 plus promises in the Bible. And before every promise comes a premise, do this and then God will. And yet we think that God will regardless of what we do. Here's the truth. God will always bless. His grace and mercy will be present until he removes it in a time of tribulation. God will do all those things. But if you choose a different road, you're going to miss what God is doing. Somebody else will reap the benefits. Somebody else will get the blessing. Somebody else will reach the goal that you were intended to reach. Because whether you do it or not, God's will be done on earth. You know, and I just want to be the one that does it, don't you? I want to be the one that sees lame walking and blinded eyes healed. I want to be the one that sees drug addicts clean and alcoholics sober. I want to be the one that sees marriages come back together, to see the adulterous woman stand up with her sins forgiven and walk away not to be condemned by anybody else. I want to be a part of those things. And in order for me to do that, I got to first be a part of His Word. David put it this way in Psalms 119, and we'll close with this. He says in Psalm 119, verse 12, I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. He's saying, okay, listen, God, no matter what, I want to know what you have to say about it. I praise you. You are it. And if we're going to become meek, and if we're going to be humble people, if we're going to be people that inherit the kingdom, like Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the humble, they inherit the kingdom of God. How do I become that person? I give Jesus the management role of my life, and then I give the Word of God the authority to dictate the way I live. Listen, when did we stop believing that premarital sex was wrong? When did we stop believing that doing certain things were wrong? Well, you know, that's made for a different time. No, that's made for this time. You know why you need to make God's Word the supreme authority of your life? It is the only thing in your life that never changes. God doesn't change His mind. What He says works, works. What He says He will do, He will do. What He says will destroy, will destroy. And what He says will harm you, will harm you. You say, well, Brother Joshua, you're preaching just against people that have made these. I am a firm believer in this. It doesn't matter if you've had premarital sex or not, you can be made pure again. Because Jesus can take everything wrong that you have done and make it right. He can justify you, redeem you, bring you back to a place, a state, as if you've never done it in the first place. Some people say, nope, once a sinner, always a sinner. That is true. You were born that way. But the truth is once redeemed, always redeemed. Once justified, always. You say, what happens is this. Every time I say, God, I confess this sin, the Bible says He forgives and cleans that sin as if it never happened. You say, well, Brother Josh, what are you trying to say? I believe the church needs to be so ingrained in God's Word that we realize that God always extends a hand to sinners instead of judgment. He always extends love and grace instead of condemnation. The Bible says, in that while we were sinners, in the middle of our sin, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we made it right. He made it right before we even decided to. He didn't wait till we were wanting Him. He wanted us first. How do we love Him? Because He first loved us. You say, what do you mean today? I say this. We could change the world simply by changing to the way the Word says we're supposed to be. This book of the law, this Bible, is valuable and precious. And when you decide, I'm doing it God's way, or I'm not doing it, you have immediately said, I will inherit the kingdom of God, because I'm going to seek first His righteousness. The Bible says what, Matthew? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then what? All things will be added to you. Now that's an easy equation, isn't it? We're the ones that mess it up. We're the ones that complicate it. So bow your heads and close your eyes and let me ask you a simple question. How many of you tonight will honestly say with me, man, I neglect it when I should be involved in it when it comes to the Word of God? Would you slip your hand up? I neglect it. All right, listen. Stop letting every other resource influence your decision-making process and start letting God's Word, God's people, be the only resource that influences anything you do. God's way is the best way all the time. Not only is God good all the time, God's way is good all the time. And all the time, right, God's way is good. But let's grab this verse. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You say, well, I'm not a robot. That's not what he's saying. He's simply saying, hey, step with your left foot, now you're right. Step to the left, now to the right. And if you'll trust him when he speaks in that way, then you will avoid so much heartache in your life and you will overcome so many trials just by simply listening to what God has to say. Now, I've learned this about God. He is always talking to me, but I am more aware of it when I am talking to him. God is always speaking. But when I'm taking the time to speak to him, I am more aware of what he is saying to me. How many of you have learned that in your life? When I am in the Word more, I hear, I feel, I experience more what God is saying, what God is doing. You want to know what a powerful church looks like? A church that's in the Word on a daily basis. And more than getting into the Word, they're letting the Word get into them. And that's what I pray you will do this week. Because I promise you, it will make your life a way better life than it was before. Amen? Stand with me, grab somebody's hand, let's close in prayer. By the way, let me introduce you to two of the ones singing tomorrow night, Sam and her husband Tyler.